You're listening to the What's the Fuzz podcast, where we break you out of your vacuum seal and get down to what's real. Never miss another episode again. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And now, your host, Reiner.
Hey, Fuzzos, great seeing you again. It's your favorite Blue Dragon here once again, letting you know what's going down. Whether it's your first time or your 100th time, thanks for tuning in. It's February 23rd, 2021 at the time of release of this episode, and it was recorded in late January. Shout out to my listeners in Texas. I know things are tough down there right now, and I'm wishing y'all the best. I'll be linking some donation links in the show notes below. If you lovely listeners out there are feeling a little generous, you want to pitch in a few bucks, please feel free. We'll be discussing LGBT plus representation in media, colorism, and art junk in this episode of What's the Fuzz? I'm sitting down with Nat, the feisty kitty with the skilled paw in art and animation. Be sure to catch them over on Twitter at NatCatSama. Link down in the show notes below for your convenience. Thanks so much for coming on the show, by the way, Nat. I'm buzzing with anticipation right now. There's so much to talk about in so little time. I mean, it's 2 hours technically, but it goes by really fast, right?
Kind of, yeah.
First, I'd like to throw a little icebreaker question at you. You ready for it?
Shoot.
All right. So what is something that you've created in a sketch or comic that you desperately wish that you had in real life?
Definitely what I created in a comic was, that's a hard one to choose. I do like the power of electricity the way I did it in a comic, whereas you can use any bit of sparks to travel anywhere you go, because I would never be late anywhere at all, and I can ruin someone's day by just taking their electricity away, and they're just like, hey, wait, my phone was charged, and I'm like, oh yeah, sucks to hear.
Oh, wow. You can be someone's angel or their devil.
I can be your angel or your devil.
Oh, my God. Sorry. I had to get the cringe out of the way early in the show. I had to do it. All right, but that's awesome. So let's get down to the real stuff. Ooh. So just to get started with, our listeners like to know a little bit about our guests. So where are you from? How old are you? What are your pronouns? What's your ethnicity, and how would you describe your sexuality / gender identity if you're feeling comfortable with that?
Oh, wow. Wow, that's like, sorry, that's like the typical list. Okay. Mm-hmm. My name's Nat. I am from New York City. You know, the one where they're like, it's so pretty in the movies, and if you live here, you're like, yeah, that's cute. But, I recently turned 23 in December 29th. I am very much black. I ain't getting no darker. For my gender and sexuality, oof. So, like, the best way I can start with is my sexuality. I'm very much bi. I go, hey, that gal, guy, non-binary pal is very, snacky. And that is where I'm at. That is literally how my mind goes. And I'm like, that's neat. So anyway,
you grab a snack, right?
Yeah. You know, you gotta go to the snack bar. However, I am in a committed relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Sorry, I was going somewhere with this. I'm in a committed relationship, even though, like, I'm recently learning that I am polyamorous. I very much am in love with my partner. For my gender, I argue with that every day. So
yeah, that sounds tiring.
The most comforting thing I can say is I am very much agender, and pronouns are he, him, and they, them.
So what? Who's your main OC, and how do you feel you express yourself through them?
Well, my main OC is Nat. I See, when I was younger, Nat was originally a Sonic character who was she, her, and I would normally express myself through her brother. Mm-hmm. But then, like, as I started to get older and I started to feel more comfortable in my own skin, I was like, why can't I be more comfortable in my own OC? And what I started to do in order to feel more comfortable as Nat is that some of the qualities that I had in myself, I would pour more into Nat. So, like, Nat used to be this really smart, cool, amazing, quick-witted. And then I look at myself and I'm like, I'm really not any of those things, but we can make it work. And instead, she's like, well, he now, he's sarcastic and he's snarky. He's smart, but it happens in spurts and even he's taken aback by it. And normally I would be like, oh, well, Nat's just aloof. But now it's like, Nat's just a snarky baby who needs a hug, like, at some point. And that's how I started realizing, oh, I can have more fun with this. And even with making, like, Tali and Shay, I realized, oh, I feel closer to Nat due to, like, the way I just started putting myself into them.
So you started out Blaze the Cat and you came out the Jet Hawk, except like you turned to Big the Cat somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds about right. That's pretty cool though.
Thank you.
So would you say that it overall helped your self-image, helped you shape it?
Yeah. Like I used to really tear myself down, especially when mm-hmm. I got into like middle school and high school. And then I was like, you know what? This is my OC, and whatever the hell I do with my OC is what I'm going to do with my OC. And then the more I started playing with my OC, the more I started to like learn to love myself a bit more and learn to mm-hmm. understand that maybe I'm not perfect, but damn, I'm one step closer to it. And that's how I started to like learn to be happier with myself, be happier with how I present myself. And it was also how I came to terms with the fact that maybe, just maybe, I am not cis. I am very much agender.
That's some self-care right there. The farther away we can get from cishet, the better off we are.
Which says a lot if you look at it.
It's a disease, I tell ya. A disease. Really, though, that is great, though. It can help to have that kind of perspective where you're just, like, looking at yourself, but not, like, looking inwardly at yourself to the point where you start to question your own existence. But yeah. Sometimes it could still be like that, though.
Yeah, like, it's only how you can have, like, a little bit of existential dread as a treat.
That's the spice of life right there. That's the paprika.
Yeah, of course. You need to add a little seasoning to it.
Lord knows we season our food. Okay, I'll stop. All right. So what brought you to the furry fandom in the first place?
Oog. So my first, like, little toe dip in the furry fandom was when I was younger. I was, like, I had, like, Sonic artists that I look up to. And, I am not proud to admit, but I'm also kind of proud to admit, it was also because I had a weird obsession with, like, Sonic 06 and Sly Cooper. And I was just like, wow, I love these guys so much. Wouldn't it be cool if I met them? And then I did nothing but make comics of me meeting them. And then on DeviantArt, not a good site to start, won't lie. Like, it's a great site when you're starting out and posting your art and you want to be great. But the amount of things I saw in there, because I was a kid who tried to pry their way into spaces I did not belong. Children, please don't do that. But I would go on there and I would find artists. And one who used to be a huge fave of mine, but as I got older, I was like, eek, yikes, was, he's well known in the furry community. I think it's like Jay Naylor, I believe. And then I realized, yeah. I saw his,
He was Sonic?
No, he was on like the furry side because I started wandering way too far, and then I saw his like safe work stuff, and I was like, oh, this is cool. I want to make stuff like that. And then I got older and learned about him, and I was like, oh,